Nerd Talk, yeah!
Oh, hi there. Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. Hi, I'm Gregor. He's just a squirrel trying to get a nut to move your butt. He's our very own Florida man. He's Siege. Hi.
I promise you we are professionals doing this.
Neither of us is a scientist, however, engineer, supervillain, maybe have any of our S together. But if you are any of those things, let us know what we get wrong and possibly even something that we get right. That'd be nice. Also, if you could tell a friend, write a review if you're listening to this on demand, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week. Question of the week comes to us from a user whose name I forgot to write down. Ah, dang it. I'm so sorry. They sent me a meme, and it says, I woke up with important centaur questions in my mind. Would a centaur big spoon with its chest and front legs up to your butt, or would it still go ween zone to your booty zone and then effectively be double curled back?
I mean, if I had to go with, like, anything, isn't the entire point of spoons getting the ween zone connected?
And also, you know, we got to talk about the idea that centaurs, would they have two wieners, ideally, and that we've just erased them. This goes back to an episode where Brandon and I spent far too long of a time going over this. To that point, shout-outs to Brandon. He's not with us again today because he's dead. No, because he has a baby.
We miss you, Brando.
Yeah, our official third member of the pod is filling in for the time being to see what happens. You just told me some cool off-air news. You're going to go see a rocket launch. That's very nerd talk-ish.
Oh, absolutely. Being where I am in Miami, I'm just like a quick 3-hour shot up the coast to Kennedy Space Center. And they're launching a Falcon Heavy rocket this weekend. And my son's going to be in town, so we're going to both go up there, Kennedy Space Center all day, spend the weekend up there.
Yeah, and then what's the street that Vanilla Ice rolled down?
A1A, Beachfront Avenue.
Yeah. When I was there, Siege actually drove me down A1A, Beachfront Avenue, and boy, was that a thing for old nerds like myself that were like, oh my God, this is a real thing, and it's in Florida somehow. Is Vanilla Ice from Florida?
Oh yeah, Vanilla Ice is from Miami. You know what? Vanilla Ice, funny story. Sorry, as we always do, side tangent. He lives here in Palm Beach County. A few years back, my sister actually worked for animal care and control in Palm Beach County. She used to, like, you know, pick up stray dogs and everything. One day she gets a call from a western town. It's called Wellington, and out on a farmland. Who does she show up? She's at Vanilla Ice's house, and she's removing a 1-ton bull from his backyard.
Yeah. What happened? Did he just wake up one day and there was a bull there and he was like, too cold?
Honestly. Honestly, I have no idea how it happened, how it got there. All I was like, just get pictures with him.
Rob Van Winkle, his real name, which has never left my mind. What's crazy is I have an older brother who is only 1 year older than Vanilla Ice, and they have aged differently.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think when you go on the Vanilla Ice treatment, there's also, you know, some injectables and everything else that, you know, kind of keep the face nice and smooth. Especially here in South Florida, that's a common thing. So,
yeah. I had a family member make fun of one of my tattoos that I have, and then like I had to like bite my tongue because they definitely have a ton of Botox in their forehead. And I wanted to be like, "You can't come at me about tattoos if you're gonna do that to yourself."
So. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fun. Whatever body mods you want to do. I mean, I'm gonna get a split tongue.
What? You're going to turn into the snake?
Possibly. No. I'm not going to. But, you know, I dated a girl with one once and I really liked it. So that's all.
Well, I bet you she would like it. That's like wild.
That would be, you could scissor with tongues. It's a whole new world. It's just geometry, trigonometry. See, we're still science.
I'm uncomfortable. Okay, so I tried to send you this picture of this stupid
I think centaurs. I got it.
Oh, okay. Did it come through? It's just showing it's just being dumb on my end, but like, it's just like, first of all, a centaur can't fit in bed. I mean, you're talking about a full horse body with a man body at the top, or a lady body, even though they call them something different.
And see, any of the the options here, you'd have to know, is the little spoon also a centaur? I mean, all of these factors come into play.
Because if it's a human, I mean, I'm sorry to go there, but we're talking horse too. That's like a whole other thing. Like,
that's a whole new world. Is that even legal in this country?
I don't think I can even say that. That's all right. A little disclosure, Siege and I record this ahead of time for a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. show because we are on such different schedules and different coasts and everything. But it brings me to like another question that I have for you. In another life, you have some experience as a delivery driver, correct?
Correct.
Like a package delivery driver, not like a pizza delivery driver. You've probably done that though too for some reason. I feel like you've delivered a pizza or two.
When you're in Florida and you're any form of entertainment, you deliver a lot of things. So whether it be pizza, weed, whatever.
Wiener injectables for vanilla ice.
Hot wiener injectables. Yes.
Well, I just moved into a new home and it's like street level. The front door is like, you know, it's in the city, and so it's like you walk out and there's the sidewalk and there's no yard, there's no way for a delivery driver to drop something off without it getting noticed, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got something delivered the other day and the person was mad cool. They moved the dog crap bucket that I have out front. They moved that in front of it and like they hit it pretty good to the point where when I walked up I didn't notice it, and then I was like, oh, look at that. So I started kicking it around and I was looking at these like secure boxes, like a lockbox type deal to be able to keep creeps away from my packages. Do you run into that at all, like in your line of work? Is that something that you've seen before?
I have. In life? Yeah, I mean, I have seen people with it. They'll put like different kinds of boxes out front. They'll have like sometimes like those fancy wooden hampers or whatever with a latch or some ridiculous kind of contraption that they've come up with. But the only things I ever think of is when I'm delivering like in a city or in a downtown, if I'm going to put it in that, people are just going to end up taking the box unless it's like, you know, bolted down. So
Yeah. And that's kind of it. It's like, you got to put like a 60-pound bag of sand in the bottom too, in order to just deter them. So when they go to pick it up, they're like, ah, dang, that's heavy.
Yeah. This is a bunch of bull that I don't want.
Yeah. I just feel like, one level of my buddy Chuck Taylor always told me, locks keep honest people honest. If like someone dishonest wants into your home, a lock is not the thing that's going to stop them.
Yeah, they're
coming in. And so I feel like someone who's like tempted to steal a package, if they have to go through one extra step of like trying to get into this lockbox thing, that it's probably enough of a deterrent. Right now I'm just using the Amazon lockboxes. And like for bigger stuff that doesn't work all the time, but there's one at the station, so it makes it a lot nicer or whatever. I just think about that a lot. Like, what's the, like, would you ever give a Amazon delivery driver the code to your house to open the door and drop something in?
I was just going to say, wasn't there you live in the land of Bezos, so I figured that they, didn't they have with the whole Ring doorbell system or whatever, the monitored door lock, so if you're getting a delivery, they can unlock it for you and they just drop it inside the door and it shut it and automatically lock it.
My problem is I've got this ding dong of a dog down here that'll like take off running, and then like that'll be just my luck that I'll get the message from Amazon being like, hey, your dog's dead because you asked us to come into your house.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, I mean, when I did that, I had been in the area I was in for a good 15 years, and I knew people pretty well. So I either knew places to hide them, or there were some people who gave me a key. There were some people who I had their phone number. I was just like, you know, if it's going to be here, it's going to be here, or I'll meet you wherever, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole new world here, as you said before. I'm trying to figure out how the city thing works again. It's so funny, man. I moved away for like 6 years and I came back and I feel like I was gone for 100 years. I don't understand how it functions anymore. And I'm like, I got so old while this is happening around me.
Well, I mean, you have to remember everything in the before times was a just completely different thing. I mean, since the lockdown and COVID and whatever else, I mean, it's everything's changed. People have changed.
So we had a chance to each go to a nerdy convention in the last couple weeks. And oh, I got to apologize. I'm sorry I didn't get this out. I got to apologize that last week the show got screwed up and it was just a cluster F of problems that happened. And I apologize because not only did we not have a live show, we did a rerun, which was nice of our friend that makes that happen. But we did a rerun, but also the pod never happened. Because there was just no audio for it. And so it just couldn't, we had a great show, but it just couldn't ever materialize. And so I apologize. But here we are back again to try and tackle some of that stuff. Now, So we would have talked about this last week, but we couldn't, obviously. So we've each been to a different nerdy convention. Myself, I went to Cybefest Northwest, all things Transformers. And what was yours that you went to?
It was SuperCon, basically the Comic-Con of Miami. So,
how successful is that? Is it a big deal?
It's actually pretty damn big. I think it's part of the whole Reed Pop four that are. It's Emerald City Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, mm-hmm. the original Comic-Con, and SuperCon. So they pretty much have all four corners of the country.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and this is a big deal. It's at the Miami Beach Convention Center. It's about 3 or 4 days. I can't remember which we did. My group that I'm part of, I usually do different things with either comedy or improv, or we do panels and do stand-up comedy with Dade County Comedy. We do Halo Kitty is the name of the improv group that we do. It's the guy who started it basically likes to think of it as the Avengers of improv because we're all from different active improv groups and we get together to do big events, and we did three shows, and we also do a couple of panels like worst comic book heroes ever or worst superheroes that were turned into television series and all sorts of stuff like that. So
that's fun, man.
Yeah, it's super fun.
That's a big deal. I had no idea that SuperCon was that big a deal, that it's that it's on the level of some of these other giant conventions. Like, obviously San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest, I think.
Yeah, still. That's the OG. I mean, that's the one that everybody's going to go to.
Yeah, I wonder how much life these things still have in them. I assume that quite a bit, because there's still a ton of content being made and that there's people that are always going to want to consume it and talk about it. But do you think we've gotten past kind of the, obviously I'll never deviate from it, but do you think we have kind of gotten past the nerd thing being cool?
Man, I honestly don't know, because even the first, I want to say probably one of the first years that we did, it was the first year of the pandemic actually, mm-hmm. when,
as you said to me, Florida didn't get that.
Yeah, exactly. The pandemic was, the lockdown was a Netflix TV show that we all just kind of watched and assumed was regular television, but it turned out it was the rest of the country. But yeah. But 2020, the first year of the pandemic, and people travel from all over to come to these things. Mm-hmm. And it was still a huge turnout. We did so many shows. I mean, they actually started the SuperCon After Dark that year, which is when we really started going harder with the comedy stuff, and they had DJs.
Makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it just got bigger and bigger. And I feel like if anything, this year might've been the year where there might've been a little bit of a slip, but that's just, I feel like everybody just needs a nap at this point.
Yeah. We really came back and for instance, in the concert community, we are, I'll just be even frank, it's hard for a radio station to book a bunch of stuff right now because everybody didn't work for 2 or 3 years in the concert business, and so now they're all out trying to make as much money as possible.
Absolutely.
And that ain't playing for pennies on the dollar for the radio station to, as I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want people to think that it's
that
they get anything for free or that this is a payola or whatever, but traditionally that bands have played for the budget that we have in order to get that exposure with our built-in fan base. And so, but again, it's not pay for play. It's just how these things work that because you go to Vegas, I've worked in Vegas for a minute, and you couldn't book a radio show because the casinos were what are they paying you? We'll double it.
Yeah,
and it
absolutely.
There was just no keeping up. The casinos just had all the money. But as we start to see that everybody has been, every concert ticket costs $250 and everybody's just been squeezed and inflation and all those things, at some point we're not going to be able to keep up and you're going to need a fun time that's next to free. And I think we're right there.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Especially like even thinking about the cons that we were just talking about. Yours I know was lower, was a little bit more affordable for everybody. But SuperCon was just, if you had a 3-day pass, I'm lucky that I do actually perform there. So we get the panelist and whatever passes. So we go there for like 3 days for free and do like whatever we want. But if you were getting a 3-day pass, if I had a guest and it cost, you know, it'd be like $250 to have them come all 3 days just to hang out with me.
Each day or total?
Oh, that, I think that's total, but I mean, like, still, that's like, that's a pretty good chunk of change, you know?
Absolutely, it is, yeah. So, kind of in the exact opposite vein is what I did for Cybefest Northwest. Shoutouts to Mike and the gang that made that possible, that put this weird gathering of weirdos together, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, because really, it opens the door for this hyper-specific group of nerds that to get together and, like, really go hard about Transformers. But it's a one-day event, and it's got such a low cost barrier. $10 to get into this thing for an adult, or $5 for a kid.
So amazing. So amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is in the Kent Commons Community Center, so, and I don't mean to disparage Kent, I don't mean anything like that, but this isn't the Seattle Convention Center. This isn't like a beautiful, huge space. This is a basketball gym with like the yellow overhead lighting and stuff. And so it's not like this is like a massive, like, put on, but for $10, it's rad. And like to take a kiddo there and like see all the Transformers and all the different generations, and there's a guy in cosplay, and there's everyone's just having a good time, getting to be themselves and be really into Transformers. And again, talking to those dudes about it leading up to it, you can go back and listen to the previous episode of Nerd Talk to hear them. Like, Mike is one of the dudes, and he's a radio guy, and so he knows how to really hype. But the other guy is just like, his name escapes me and I feel terrible, but he's just a huge enthusiast, and it just comes across that, like, this guy loves Transformers and knows this, like, minutiae about it. So there I am, not really giving a crap. I can talk about Transformers from my childhood a little bit, but, like, I don't know any of the lore. I don't know any of the stuff that you go one level deeper than just being like, yeah, I remember when, what's his name, would turn into a gun. was, Megatron was literally a gun.
I actually remember listening to that episode just a couple of weeks ago when you guys did that. And I thought it was really cool how he was going in depth with, you know, what Japan did with the story. Yeah. And then when it came back over here, and each different company that kind of owned the license, I guess, so to speak, for the storytelling did like completely different versions of it.
Yeah. And the fact that it like has all those different iterations, Mike would come in and he brought like all these different, he knows that I'm like I like the Constructicons a lot from being a child. And so he brought in like all these different variations of the Constructicons and showed me how different it is and the different ranges and the different, like, in terms of like financial size. Like, we actually played with some and transformed them there. And it's like, there's a really deep world into that. It's a very small fan base compared to how much material is available in terms of toys and whatnot, at least in, you know, the Pacific Northwest or whatever. There's other bigger cons that happen, like in Toronto and Chicago and stuff. I don't know how big they get, because some of these people are so hyper-specific, again, that they're just going to travel, be a small group that travels in strong, consistent numbers, like Iceland going to the Euro Cup, 10% of the population was there. I'm sure if 10% of the hardcore Transformers fans show up, it's kind of what we have.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool, though, you know, because you've got so many of these big cons that cater to just about everything. I mean, you go there and you'll see Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You'll see people dressed as Street Fighter II And you'll, any Naruto or anime comic that comes up, or Star Wars, or, I mean, there's just so many different things that when you break it down and you get to something as hyper specific as a Transformer Fest, that's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty cool, because then you're like, that's your group. You know, you're going there, and those are the people that you're there to be with.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. So I'm glad that people have that outlet specifically, that like that you can get together. And even if it's like not your main thing and you just find other people that are like nerdy on the same level as you and you become a fan of it, I also think that's pretty cool. So yeah, shout outs to the Sidefest Northwest guys. That's their 10th anniversary of it. It was called something else beforehand. And it's pretty cool that they... It's pretty cool that they've been putting this thing on every year. They doubled the size this year for the showcase of toys and whatnot, and pretty neat. So, and you know, they do panels and they do these things too, but like just getting on that floor and seeing all the things is pretty cool.
Yeah, man. That's shout out to them, because that was really cool. And even just listening to your guys' interview, I was all pumped. I was like, that's the kind of thing I would love to go to and just kind of see everybody. When he said it was local groups too, and little artists, and like the guy that you guys were talking about, one specific guy was building Legos.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I ran into that guy. He was so happy to see me. He was like, you know, you talking to me, Gregor talking to Jeremy is the guy's name. You talking to me about how much you liked Soundwave. I actually went back and made a new Soundwave because I was so excited that anyone gave a crap.
That's awesome.
And that's what he sells now. And it's like, yeah, it's really neat. I just actually came across it as I was looking for a piece for my home studio that I still can't find trying to make this podcast work. So I've always wanted to, I have a friend that like does cosplay, like for real. Friend, I've interviewed him before for another podcast I did. And he, basically there was this opportunity to go in and see his creation lab. Zach Labs is what it's called. Hey, it came to me. All right.
Wow.
And he makes these like complex, like he makes the big weapons. He makes the big like foam stuff. He has like the, you know, the press forms and all the foam and all the tools and all the wiring, and he can make crazy cool stuff. And I've always wanted to make a Soundwave cosplay. I think it would be rad. And then to get a vocoder built into it so you could be like, you know.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Laser beak. And then I've also always wanted to have intern Soundwave on the... I think I said that in the interview. But like, yep. Yeah, I think it'd be funny. I have to actually buy a vocoder if I want that to be possible. Well, I'm not there yet. So, yeah, nor have I been for the last 10 years. So, but anyway, I mean, I think that would be cool, especially since I'm 6'5", 6'6", to come rolling through as like a giant, you know, Optimus or Soundwave or whatever would be badass.
That would be awesome. I mean, the most I do is I get dressed up like Red Guardian from Captain America, the Russian Captain America.
Because
I look like David Harbour and I got the long hair and I'm dirty and a unkempt beard, and that's me. I just have to put on a red shirt and I'm good.
Look at you. What was your as a kid, what was like that 80s thing that you consumed a lot of, like G.I. Joe or Transformers? What was it for you?
Man, be perfectly honest with you. When I was a kid, we had the cartoons here and there, but I was blessed with my aunt who loved movies, and she was taking us
cosplay as her all the time.
Just yeah, like, right.
Wanda.
Yes. I think I was 5 when Back to the Future came out and Ghostbusters came out, right around that 84-85 year. Yeah. I was going to Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones, all that stuff. So big movies and stuff like that were my thing. I loved Indiana Jones. Like, you couldn't believe any, and like adventure stuff, Goonies, all those things. But when you break it down to the cartoons, I'd have to go with Thundercats.
Oh, yeah. You strike me as a Thundercats guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Come on, man. Lion-O all the way, baby.
Did you watch the one that was like the more adult version, not like doing it stuff, but like about 8-9 years ago, they did like a rehash where it was a little bit more mature and like a little darker?
Yeah, I did see that. And as much as I liked it and I liked what they were trying to do with it, it just wasn't the same. It was completely different, like reimagination of it.
Yeah, it's fun that you're trying to do the Fresh Prince again, only with more serious tones, but like they handled serious stuff really well already.
Of course.
On a goofy show.
That Why doesn't he love me?
That's pretty good.
I do also, voice.
Shout outs to your roommates that you just woke up.
Yeah. That's okay. They can deal
with it. We don't love you because it's after 11 and you're being an asshole.
Tough You knew this when I got here.
Anyway, I was like, I'm trying to think. I was like, Transformers was my jam. This will be controversial, but like a lot of my guy friends really loved G.I. Joe, and I was no dice. I liked He-Man and Transformers.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I wasn't a G.I. Joe guy, but the kids across the street had the G.I. Joes. I actually had that giant Skeletor castle with the microphone in the back that you could
That you could do your sound wave impressions on it. There's something about big bulging muscle men scantily clad that just were like between He-Man and Thundercats is the same way, really. Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
What was that, dude? What was that? Like, why were we so... I hate how I second guess myself at this, but homoerotic, is that what it was? Is that like where you're like looking at big sweaty Conan the Barbarians and being like, yes.
I was just about to say that Conan the Barbarian. I was thinking it's like all around that time, everything was the same. Everybody was all primal and shirts torn off and just wearing little tidy whities painted up like cheetahs and whatever.
I think it's time for that again. I think we're having a crisis as a culture, and we're going to slip into some weird bad masculine stuff, but like let's get out in front of it and make some more like Schwarzenegger style Predator movies where it's like not great but it's great.
Yes.
Let's do that.
I'm absolutely all for that. I mean, Predator versus Alien is one thing, but we need to have the humans fighting again. We need to get some like faith back in humanity. We need to give something for us to unite against. Yeah. We're so good at finding an other. Let's make the other an alien, a predator.
Yeah. Robots.
Robots. Like, AI.
I think we're onto something here. I think that we could serve. I bet you it'll happen, actually. I bet you that we're picking up on it now, as we are supposed to, as people that are steering this type of ship. Like, I think that we'll start to see that happening. I was trying to think about music and stuff, like what's going to happen, and I don't want it to get like, someone's getting mad at me for this, but I don't want it to get like Disturbed bad, but like Linkin Park bad, like, yeah, like in terms of like getting heavy again, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so like, let's try and keep it from being like, those Linkin Park kids were good kids. Like, let's try and find a way to make it not devolve into like the dumbest, punchiest people win. let's let Arnold Schwarzenegger be the figurehead again, only whoever the new version of that is, like a big muscle guy that shoots giant guns at stuff.
Trying to think, who would be the new version of that? Is it The Rock? Is it John Cena?
Too late on both of them.
It's Vin Diesel with all his cars. I mean,
what's his name? The guy from the Real World Road Rules that is a wrestler now.
Oh, The Miz?
Yeah, The Miz. Someone like him.
It's gotta be someone like him who's just about to jump out of that one wrestling box and possibly onto a big screen. Like
they'll never let a movie like you need it to be. It could go one of two ways, where it could become a Friday night HBO action movie, or it could become a blockbuster movie. They'll always be like, what if we put three aliens in it? Then we could tease that and that would sell, right? And it'll always be like undone by executives. You just need someone that's like pioneering, making like badass, campy action movies.
Like when you think of the 80s and you start thinking about like the extent of how far they were trying to push some of the things, like even with the alien movies, like you've got one that I always like to jump back to as like kind of a punchline because so many people have not heard of it, is Enemy Mine. No? Okay. Basically, Louis Gossett Jr. is an alien on another planet, and I believe Beau Bridges crashes on this planet, and together they're stranded there. They were enemies, but they're both crashed on this planet, and together they make a baby.
Well, that's a twist I did not anticipate.
And that's why
it's Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. I love Dennis Quaid.
He's the best.
Interspace?
That's literally where I was going. Why didn't we continue with Interspace? I mean, there's so many possibilities we could have gone there.
I think Martin Short kind of, like, he's not for me. a little bit annoying, but, like, in that capacity where he needs, like, someone who's, like, Dennis Quaid is, like, effortlessly macho in those without being, he's kind of like a Harrison Ford almost figure, where he's, like, without being, like, a big strapping man at that time, he was just, like, a charisma guy.
Without a doubt. I'm trying to think of all the roles that he was in doing that. What else was he in? He just reminds you of, like, it's like if Harrison Ford. Oh my God. I don't even want to know. Is he 70?
69.
Yes. That's 420 Canadian.
Oh, yeah, he's aging like fine wine in Canada. That's for sure. Okay. Let's look up his IMDb. I'm sorry that I interrupted, but
that's
the first thing that popped up.
No, you're good. It's like you look at Dennis Quaid and he's kind of like, if Harrison Ford was like a Texas Wrangler, yeah, you know, that's just the kind of swag that he's got about him.
Wow. He still does. He's got three things, this year alone already. I don't recognize any of these things, but like he's working.
I don't think Dennis Quaid will ever stop working. Man, now I'm drawing blanks on all that. See, this is...
Well, so the big things it said were stuff that I haven't seen. Far From Heaven in 2002. The Day After Tomorrow in 2004.
Yes, that was good.
Interspace is one of them. Frequency is another that I don't know. But, like, I'm thinking about, like, The Intruder. What is that? That's 2019. Like, I'm thinking... Let's go back to, like, the 90s. Let's see if I can find something here. Any Given Sunday, he was in that? Okay. The Parent Trap.
Did you know I was an extra in Any Given Sunday?
I did not know that.
One of my buddies that we played high school football together with, we went down there every single day and waited to get picked, and we ended up getting in uniform, and we were just, there's a scene where you can see part of my arm and you can see his thigh running on the field. We were Miami Sharks for 3 days and got in there for 2 seconds.
That's all. Amongst Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
He was in Stripes? What? Oh, he was an extra in Stripes. Okay. I don't know how those movies handle, or like how bad they are now, but like I loved Stripes when I was younger. All those old Bill Murray movies were awesome. And since we're not going to make comedies anymore, let's make something that dudes can get behind, which is like shooting stuff. And then let's make them super muscular so that like. Women can be like, well, at least it's something easy on the eyes or whatever. I know I'm like oversimplifying culture, but also maybe it's time to do that a little bit.
Also, at the same time, you're also exactly right.
I feel like I'm onto something, man. I feel like we got something good going here.
I mean, there's so much stuff with the Marvel stuff and DC, all the comic book superhero universes.
Burnout.
I mean... It's like you can only do so many of them at the same time. Well,
and the multiverse made it like that's where I cut my ties with it. I was like, I can't keep track of like, I can't sit around waiting for the, oh wow, when they stitch it all back together. There's no way, dude.
Yeah. The only part I kind of liked the multiverse was I'm a Spider-Man guy. My kid's a Spider-Man guy. And we loved that. And we loved seeing all three of them come in. Spoiler alert. in the last Tom Holland one, and then the Doctor Strange right after that of the multiverse, and seeing all these people and all their different ideas of how they could go these different ways with these different characters, and I'm just like, all right, now my brain is out of capacity. We're just gonna have to start over.
Yeah, then you introduce them, you know, the animated one, and it's, I haven't seen the newest one, but the first one was so good, and like I get it, that's gonna fall into that, and like. So it's not that it's without merit. It's just that I can't commit that type of brain power to keeping track of that many things just for making, you know, the people, the fine folks at the Disney Corporation $1 zillion. Like I already do that with Star Wars, like enough. that's enough.
And I mean, the fact that they're coming out with how many different worlds every year? 9-10 of these movies every year. It's like I can't keep up with all that.
Now they got like small stuff too, where it's like the you know, just stuff like it's like the tailor.
Oh, man.
The haberdasher. And I'm like, oh no. Like, I can't. What are his powers? He makes hats. Like, ooh.
In a small shop in Italy, here is the cobbler.
He makes shoes.
These are the shoes that go and make a go out really fast.
If I throw this shoe at you, you will not live.
All right. Well, there is a brilliance to the marketing departments at places like this because they do rope us in. The same with fast food chains, where they just take the stuff they already have and then create a new item, like the multiverse of fast food, and then see if you'll go gobble it up. I'm looking at KFC's Double Down specifically, where the bread is replaced by the thing that they have the most on hand, chicken. It's very smart. It's been years. Kudos.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, Burger King, though, is taking their own swing at it. And I should be more clear, it's Burger King Thailand. They're taking their own swing. Now, they are the ones that brought us the chocolate Whopper some time ago.
Yeah.
And I can't combine those two worlds. No offense to Burger King. Again, they advertise with us and stuff, and I'm not trying to be rude to them. But chocolate and Whopper, those just don't, in my mind, they just don't. It's like multiverse. It doesn't work for me. It's I'm going to stick to normal Whopper or a croissant sandwich, which I want 30 of right now.
Oh, my God. That sounds so good. And as Burger King is being a Miami company, I will try anything that they do with a Whopper.
As long as you don't have to necessarily go to Thailand on your own dime.
That's debatable.
So Burger King Thailand is taking their own swing at it. They've got a new burger to try. It's just 20 slices of that shiny American cheese between two buns. I mean, it's good for Thailand because it's like something different than just the beach parties with the full moon and the drugs and the weird sex stuff. So way to go, Burger King, to be the moral light in the darkness that is Thailand, to bring us something. But this isn't, it took me a long time to come across this notion, but it's a grilled cheese. Only it's excessive. And I got to be honest, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too. As a matter of fact, I went on a journey all over the last couple days and have gotten, I actually tried to get Burger King to, the Burger King I go to is the nice crazy Burger King in Miami that if you Google Burger King Miami and see all the nuts stuff that has happened in this location, that's my burger. So, and the lady that, she's the, franchisor, she loves me in there and, she hooks me up like with whatever I want. On this particular question,
she just makes you go Burger King, ho!
Pretty much. Okay. And, on this particular one, she was like, wait, are you serious? Are like 20 pieces of cheese with no meat? She's like,
hey, I'm going to need a Whopper, hold the beef, add 19 slices cheese.
Literally. She was like, you don't want no sauce on it either? And I was like, nope, just 20 slices of cheese and a Whopper bun. And she was just like, you know what? For all the things I do for you, she's like, I'm going to give you a chocolate shake. I'm going to give you some onion rings, and you're going to go on home. And I was like, okay.
That was a no. So you got shot down.
I got shot down at my Burger King.
Oh, my God.
So I literally went on a journey, went to a deli, had them slice me up 20 slices of our finest American cheese. And
oh, my God. What kind of bun is that on?
This is on a sesame seed Whopper bun. I actually got a Whopper bun. And I told her to give me a bag so I could carry it around, too. So, yeah, this is my homemade cheese Whopper.
Do you own a panini press? That's the question, is because I don't own one and I would like one.
I do not think this would fit in a panini press, but this will definitely go in a George Foreman grill or any of those portable.
Confession time. I still own a George Foreman grill. It's like a vestige of my bachelorhood, and I have it's downstairs in my kitchen right now. I like to cook hot dogs on it. That's like my thing for it. And so when you don't want to fire up the grill for three hot dogs, you know, whatever, it's like,
of course,
Foreman grill.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I still have mine too. I got the first kind that it was in a color. It was red. I still have my red George Foreman grill.
So I'm on my second or third. The first one we had had the bun warming window at the top, so you could cook the stuff and put the
little steamer.
Top and,
yeah.
Yeah. My current one does not have that. Disappointing for sure. I just kicked my dog under the desk here, but not on purpose. But yeah, it's like, are you going to try it? Are you going to eat it here? Are you holding on to it?
I'm absolutely going to eat it. I brought it here to like try and take a
To be clear, you can't see this, and we're just talking about it as if you can. Siege is literally holding a 20 slice of cheese, maybe more. It looks like more.
It's literally 1 pound, 20 slices.
Oh, gross.
And
I'm so sad for you.
I know. I'm so happy and sad at the same time, and hopefully this will be some good ASMR too.
Okay, wait, should I go to Burger King tomorrow and order just a Whopper and then just throw all the other parts away and then I have some American cheese because also, I mean, I have a Foreman grill. Obviously, I own American cheese. It's like, duh.
I mean, by all means, it's worth a shot.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm ready. Everybody.
You ready?
It's been a long time since we've driven people away from the... you should check out the video that Siege has made for it, too. It's probably on our socials by now, but it's been a long time since I've driven people away from a podcast by eating fast food live on a podcast, but I don't care. This is for my entertainment at this point. Man. And yours, obviously, but...
I got a big-ass mouth. I don't know how I'm going to get it around this sucker.
I would like to just say, for the record, R.I.P. in peace, or R.I. Pepper in peace, your butthole.
Yes. This is just going to be a nice... not lodged somewhere in my upper torso. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Oh my God. As a person with the smallest mouth, watching you take that bite. How are you supposed to talk?
I have no idea. This is amazing though.
You keep giving me the giggles. I kicked my dog again.
Sorry. This is highly underrated.
Thailand knows what's up.
I mean, they get me with the sex stuff. Might as well go for the food too.
Wow. I was really worried for you as we were doing this that we were going to have to stop and play the hold music or whatever, because I definitely thought it was going to get stuck to the roof of your mouth, like the dream that you have where you're like, feel like you're dying because you're choking on something, but then you're really just like dry mouth snoring with your pillow in your mouth. that happens to everyone, right? But so you bit into that and I was like, oh, he's going to have to get up and like do the thing where you put your finger back like you're gonna make yourself barf, but then you scoop out the roof of your mouth to clear it. But you've already recovered from bite one.
This is like, I'm actually, I thought it was gonna be because of the amount of cheese that it was gonna be way too much. I think because there's so much and it's almost like biting into a giant beef patty. It's just that easy.
Take that, vegetarians. That's how you do it.
That's right. There you go, vegans.
Well, that's cheese, so you can't.
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad.
Now, what I would like to see next time is I would like to see the 20 slices of American cheese, but with the bun in the middle, and then the cheese as the bun. Ooh. And go ahead and let's reverse it, because you honestly have more cheese by quite the factor than you knew.
This is, if I were to measure this, stacked up from bottom to top, it's probably a good almost 2.5 inches of cheese. Just like a solid block. Like if you were to go buy a block of cheese, you might as well just do that and put it between the buns.
Oh, man. Put 2.5 inches between your buns. That's
story of my life. Welcome to Thailand. This is a travel podcast.
I wish this was a that's all I want to do now. Go to Thailand and eat weird burgers and weird sex stuff.
You want to eat weird sex stuff?
Anybody who knows me knows that the weird sex stuff thing is a lie. I'm too prude. But yeah, but still.
Anybody who knows me knows it's not.
No, it's like the motivating factor. The weird burger is just a thing on the side.
Oh my God.
Well, we could both go for the weird drug beach full moon parties, right? That's where we could meet in the middle.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, that, I feel pretty good.
I'm, I, I'm, I, I hate feeling like this, but I might finish that.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't waste it.
Yeah, no, I'm legit going in
for
that.
We're food conscious on this podcast, obviously, for the environment.
Absolutely. This is all for the environment. I will eat everything for the environment.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to, sometimes we do this on this podcast, but I'm going to open up ChatGPT.
Ooh.
And I'm going to ask it about, it's going to give me some like, it's up to you, Greg, what do you think? But I want to know like, how many slices of American cheese is too many for a sandwich?
I remember.
It says it's subjective. Get out of here.
Come on. Because I remember you and Brandon a few episodes ago, but maybe a month or two ago, when you guys were talking about growing up and the cheese you guys had. You had the big old Velveeta block, and that's what I had too. That giant thing, and you just kind of, you can't cut straight through it. You kind of had to wiggle because it gave too much. No,
my mom had like a tool for it. It was like a rolling pin on a thing, and then had
with a wire.
Yeah, so you could get through the Velveeta.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't see that until I was like 30 years old. I thought it was the most amazing thing ever.
We were using work on anything else.
No,
but yeah, nothing. Like. But it, like, if you tried to do it on real cheese, like, get out of here.
No.
Like, would never work.
But. And then with the Velveeta, when you were done cutting that chunk off, you had to wrap the aluminum foil that it came in back around it and then slide it into the box and close the box otherwise.
So when I first moved to Seattle, I went to, like, I was making a funeral casserole. Funeral potatoes is what it's called. And it's, like, Velveeta, cream of mushroom, potatoes, casserole dish, bake forever. Eat amazing melted everything, right?
Yes.
And so I was going to make that, and I went to the QFC on Broadway, and no offense to the Kroger Corporation, not that I'm in Kroger's corner, but like, it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that I was on the one on Broadway there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, hi, where's the Velveeta? And they were like, oh. And the person, it was almost like Lucy Liu's childhood character under the bed going whimper, and then she has to like pull it back in her mouth for like not getting killed. Only this is the employee being like, oh, I shouldn't mock the gross person that's in front of me.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
They don't store it with the cheese. It's on a shelf in the baking section because shelf stable.
Yeah, it's not even labeled as cheese. I remember looking at, because when I was on this journey, this pilgrimage to Mecca was, it was Velveeta. It was processed cheese product.
And that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. I just asked ChatGPT and I said, is Velveeta cheese? And it says, it seems like your question got cut off. No, it didn't. But if you meant to ask if Velveeta cheese is a type of cheese, the answer is yes, but it's not a traditional cheese in the same way as many other varieties. Velveeta is a processed cheese product.
Nice.
So there you go. But mixed by blending real cheese with various additives such as emulsifiers and stabilizers, making it smooth, creamy, and meltable. After watching you eat that sandwich, like, I want a Velveeta cheese grilled cheese sandwich now.
You know,
but I gotta say, it's not that much different than an American slice on some toasted whatever with butter on each side and then into the pan. Yeah, it's not that much different.
Yeah. Even my dad was talking to me today. Yeah, your mother and I are having grilled cheese tonight. I was like, yeah, you have no idea how much cheese I'm having.
You're like, oh, that's cute. Real cute, Dad.
Here, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Here, hold my Whopper.
Yeah. Amateurs.
Well, see, I don't really know how we top any of that. Like, I haven't laughed that much in a long time. So I guess we just say go to nerdtalkplus.com to find some socials and whatnot. Siege made a lovely video that you have to see that is in promoting of this. You've already heard it now, so you don't need to see the hype video to get excited, but you should see it because hearing that much cheese slap its cheeks together is real good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get a text from Siege. I'm at like a wedding or something like that. And it's like, it's just like, I had to use a lav mic and a bun in order to get this sound. And I was like, I can't do this right now. I can't. And then when I saw it actually produced, I was like, oh, that was the right move.
Oh my God. You know what just struck me is I'm going from this conversation to 2 days from now, I'm actually interviewing the Democratic candidate for mayor of the city of Miami.
To what end?
You ever
heard of creepy murders in Florida? Check out Siege's Florida Man Murder. Wait, say it for me.
Florida Man Murders podcast.
Thank you. But what are you doing interviewing a... It's not Cabe Ferrari also, which makes me disappointed. But
yeah, unfortunately, he's Orlando. It's a different district. But
you're right.
But yeah, it's... I actually met him at a comedy show early on in the pandemic, and we kind of hit it off, and his people like how I keep him kind of loose and not stiff as like a politician, and kind of, and I'll still ask questions that hit the right notes and everything else like that. Like, I'll hit him hard. I have no problem doing that. But at the same time, I keep him loose and make him seem like a human being and not a politician, which is hard to do in my head.
If I throw this shoe at you, you will not live.
All right. Well, there is a brilliance to the marketing departments at places like this because they do rope us in. The same with fast food chains, where they just take the stuff they already have and then create a new item, like the multiverse of fast food, and then see if you'll go gobble it up. I'm looking at KFC's Double Down specifically, where the bread is replaced by the thing that they have the most on hand, chicken. It's very smart. It's been years. Kudos.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, Burger King, though, is taking their own swing at it. And I should be more clear, it's Burger King Thailand. They're taking their own swing. Now, they are the ones that brought us the chocolate Whopper some time ago.
Yeah.
And I can't combine those two worlds. No offense to Burger King. Again, they advertise with us and stuff, and I'm not trying to be rude to them. But chocolate and Whopper, those just don't. In my mind, they just don't. It's like multiverse. It doesn't work for me. It's I'm going to stick to normal Whopper or a croissant sandwich, which I want 30 of right now.
Oh, my God. That sounds so good. And as Burger King is being a Miami company, I will try anything that they do with a Whopper.
As long as you don't have to necessarily go to Thailand on your own dime.
That's debatable.
So Burger King Thailand is taking their own swing at it. They've got a new burger to try. It's just 20 slices of that shiny American cheese between two buns. I mean, it's good for Thailand because it's like something different than just the beach parties with the full moon and the drugs and the weird sex stuff. So way to go, Burger King, to be the moral light in the darkness that is Thailand to bring us something. But this isn't, it took me a long time to come across this notion, but it's a grilled cheese. Only it's excessive. And I gotta be honest, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too. As a matter of fact, I went on a journey all over the last couple days and have gotten, I actually tried to get Burger King and the Burger King I go to is the nice crazy Burger King in Miami that if you Google Burger King Miami and see all the nuts stuff that has happened in this location, that's my burger. So, and the lady that, she's the, franchisor, she loves me in there and, she hooks me up like with whatever I want. On this particular question,
she just makes you go Burger King. Ho!
Pretty much. Okay. And, on this particular one, she was like, wait, are you serious? Like 20 pieces of cheese with no meat? She's like,
hey, I'm going to need a Whopper, hold the beef, add 19 slices cheese.
Literally. She was like, you don't want no sauce on it either? And I was like, nope, just 20 slices of cheese and a Whopper bun. And she was just like, you know what? For all the things I do for you, she's like, I'm going to give you a chocolate shake. I'm going to give you some onion rings, and you're going to go on home. And I was like, okay.
That was a no. So you got shot down.
I got shot down at my Burger King.
Oh, my God.
So I literally went on a journey, went to a deli, had them slice me up 20 slices, of our finest American cheese. And
oh my God. What kind of bun is that on?
This is on a sesame seed Whopper bun. I actually got a Whopper bun. And I told her to give me a bag so I could carry it around too. So yeah, this is my homemade cheese Whopper.
Do you own a panini press? That's the question, is because I don't own one and I would like one.
I do not think this would fit in a panini press, but this will definitely go in a George Foreman grill or any of those, the portable.
Confession time. I still own a George Foreman grill. It's like a vestige of my bachelorhood, and I have it's downstairs in my kitchen right now. I like to cook hot dogs on it. That's like my thing for it. And so when you don't want to fire up the grill for three hot dogs, you know, whatever, it's like,
of course,
Foreman grill.
Yeah, that's the way to go. I still have mine too. I got the first kind that it was in a color. It was red. I still have my red George Foreman grill.
So I'm on my second or third. The first one we had the bun warming window at the top, so you could cook the stuff and put the
little steamer.
Top and,
yeah.
My current one does not have that. Disappointing. Oh, sorry, dog. Disappointing for sure. I just kicked my dog under the desk here, but not on purpose. But yeah, it's like, are you going to try it? Are you going to eat it here? Are you holding on to it?
I'm absolutely going to eat it. I brought it here to like try and take a
big old bite. To be clear, you can't see this, and we're just talking about it as if you can. Siege is literally holding a 20 slice of cheese, maybe more. It looks like more.
It's literally 1 pound, 20 slices.
Oh, gross.
And
I'm so sad for you.
I know. I'm so happy and sad at the same time, and hopefully this will be some good ASMR too.
Okay, wait, should I go to Burger King tomorrow and order just a Whopper and then just throw all the other parts away and then I have some American cheese because also, I mean, I have a Foreman grill. Obviously, I own American cheese. It's like, duh.
I mean, by all means, it's worth a shot.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm ready. Everybody.
You ready?
It's been a long time since we've driven people away from the... you should check out the video that Siege has made for it, too. It's probably on our socials by now, but it's been a long time since I've driven people away from a podcast by eating fast food live on a podcast, but I don't care. This is for my entertainment at this point. Man. And yours, obviously, but...
I got a big-ass mouth. I don't know how I'm going to get it around this sucker.
I would like to just say, for the record, R.I.P. in peace, or R.I. Pepper in peace, your butthole.
Yes. This is just going to be a nice... not lodged somewhere in my upper torso. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Oh my God. As a person with the smallest mouth, watching you take that bite. How are you supposed to talk?
I have no idea. This is amazing, though.
You keep giving me the giggles. I kicked my dog again.
Sorry. This is highly underrated.
Thailand knows what's up.
I mean, they get me with the sex stuff. Might as well go for the food too.
Wow. I was really worried for you as we were doing this that we were going to have to stop and play the hold music or whatever, because I definitely thought it was going to get stuck to the roof of your mouth, like the dream that you have where you're like, feel like you're dying because you're choking on something, but then you're really just like dry mouth snoring with your pillow in your mouth. that happens to everyone, right? But so you bit into that, and I was like, oh, he's going to have to get up and like do the thing where you put your finger back like you're gonna make yourself barf, but then you scoop out the roof of your mouth to clear it. But you've already recovered from bite one.
This is like, I'm actually, I thought it was gonna be because of the amount of cheese that it was gonna be way too much. I think because there's so much and it's almost like biting into a giant beef patty. It's just that easy.
Take that, vegetarians.
That's
how you
do it. That's right. There you go, vegans.
Well, that's cheese, so you can't.
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad.
Now, what I would like to see next time is I would like to see the 20 slices of American cheese, but with the bun in the middle, and then the cheese as the bun. Ooh. And go ahead and let's reverse it, because you honestly have more cheese by quite the factor than you knew.
This is, if I were to measure this, stacked up from bottom to top, it's probably a good almost 2.5 inches of cheese. Just like a solid block. Like if you were to go buy a block of cheese, you might as well just do that and put it between the buns.
Oh, man. Put 2.5 inches between your buns. That's
story of my life. Welcome to Thailand. This is a travel podcast.
I wish this was a that's all I want to do now. Go to Thailand and eat weird burgers and weird sex stuff.
You want to eat weird sex stuff?
Anybody who knows me knows that the weird sex stuff thing is a lie. I'm too prude, but yeah, still.
Anybody who knows me knows it's not.
No. It's like the motivating factor. The weird burger is just a thing on the side.
Oh my God. Oh
well, we could both go for the weird drug beach full moon parties, right? That's where we could meet in the middle.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, that, I feel pretty good.
I hate feeling like this, but I might finish that.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't waste it.
Yeah, no, I'm legit going in
for
that.
We're food conscious on this podcast, oh, of course. Obviously, for the environment.
Absolutely. This is all for the environment. I will eat everything for the environment.
You know what I'm going to do is sometimes we do this on this podcast, but I'm going to open up ChatGPT.
Ooh.
And I'm going to ask it about, it's going to give me some like, it's up to you, Greg, what do you think? But I want to know like, how many slices of American cheese is too many for a sandwich.
I remember.
It says it's subjective. Get out of here.
Come on. Because I remember you and Brandon a few episodes ago, but maybe a month or two ago, when you guys were talking about growing up and the cheese you guys had. You had the big old Velveeta block, and that's what I had too. That giant thing, and you just kind of can't cut straight through it. You kind of had to wiggle because it gave too much.
My mom had like a tool for it. It was like a rolling pin on a thing, and then had
with a wire.
Yeah, so you could get through the Velveeta.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't see that until I was like 30 years old. I thought it was the most amazing thing ever.
It doesn't work on anything else.
No,
but yeah, like. But it like if you try to do it on real cheese, like get out of here.
No,
like would never work.
But. And then with the Velveeta, when you were done cutting that chunk off, you had to wrap the aluminum foil that it came in back around it, and then slide it into the box and close the box. Otherwise,
so when I first moved to Seattle, I went to like go. I was making a funeral casserole, funeral potatoes is what it's called, and it's like Velveeta, cream of mushroom, potatoes, casserole dish, bake forever. Eat amazing melted everything, right?
Yes.
And so I was going to make that, and I went to the QFC on Broadway, and no offense to the Kroger Corporation, not that I'm in Kroger's corner, but like it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that I was on the one on Broadway there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, hi, where's the Velveeta? And they were like, oh, but the person, it was almost like Lucy Liu's childhood character under the bed going whimper, and then she has to like pull it back in her mouth for like not getting killed. Only this is the employee being like, oh, I shouldn't mock the gross person that's in front of me.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
They don't store it with the cheese. It's on a shelf in the baking section shelf stable.
Yeah. It's not even. It's not even labeled as cheese. I remember looking at, because when I was on this journey, this this pilgrimage to Mecca was it was Velveeta. It was processed cheese product.
And that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. I just asked ChatGPT and I said, "Is Velveeta cheese?" And it says, "It seems like your question got cut off." No, it didn't. But if you meant to ask if Velveeta cheese is a type of cheese. The answer is yes, but it's not a traditional cheese in the same way as many other varieties. Velveeta is a processed cheese product.
Nice.
So there you go. But mixed by blending real cheese with various additives such as emulsifiers and stabilizers, making it smooth, creamy, and meltable. After watching you eat that sandwich, like I want a Velveeta cheese grilled cheese sandwich now. You know, but I gotta tell you what, it's not that much different than an American slice on some toasted whatever with butter on each side and then into the pan. Yeah, it's not that much different.
Yeah. Even my dad was talking to me today. Yeah, your mother and I are having grilled cheese tonight. I was like, yeah, you have no idea how much cheese I'm having.
You're like, oh, that's cute. Real cute, Dad.
Here, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. Here, hold my Whopper.
Yeah. Amateurs.
Well, see, I don't really know how we top any of that. Like, I haven't laughed that much in a long time. So I guess we just say go to nerdtalkplus.com to find some socials and whatnot. Siege made a lovely video that you have to see that is in promoting of this. You've already heard it now, so you don't need to see the hype video to get excited, but you should see it because hearing that much cheese slap its cheeks together is real good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get a text from Siege. I'm at like a wedding or something like that, and it's like, it's just like I had to use a lav mic and a bun in order to get this sound, and I was like, I can't do this right now. I can't. And then when I saw it actually produced, I was like, oh, that was the right move.
Oh my God. You know what? You know what just struck me is I'm going from this conversation to 2 days from now, I'm actually interviewing the Democratic candidate for mayor of the city of Miami.
To wonder, what end?
I have.
You ever heard of creepy murders in Florida? Check out Siege's Florida Man Murder. Wait, say it for me.
Florida Man Murders podcast.
Thank you. But what are you doing interviewing a? It's not Cabe Ferrari, also, which makes me disappointed. But
yeah, unfortunately, he's Orlando. It's a different district. But
you're right.
But yeah, it's I actually met him at a comedy show early on in the pandemic, and we kind of hit it off, and his people like how I keep him kind of loose and not stiff as like a politician, and kind of, and I'll still ask questions that hit the right notes and everything else like that. Like, I'll hit him hard. I have no problem doing that. But at the same time, I keep him loose and make him seem like a human being and not a politician, which is hard to do in Miami.
You're getting 2.5 between the cheeks.
Yeah. How many slices of American cheese can you fit in your mouth?
Dude, that is what you should do, is you should sit him down and be like, we are eating this. This is in Thailand.
I pull out two plates. What is your move here, sir?
Take a big bite out of one of them and just look at him until he takes a bite.
This right here is your swing vote. Yeah, I know, right? That's a great idea.
You want to win Florida? This is how you do it, mother. It's not Florida, but it's Miami. Since cocaine is illegal, this is how you do it.
Is it, though? Is it?
I think it's illegal for politicians to use cocaine as a voting mechanism, for sure.
That's true. The city of Miami was built on cocaine and fraud, so...
Not for long is the point, though. I think I think Florida's moving in the right direction for the cocaine, you know, lobby to really be successful in the near future.
The lobby. That's a nice way of putting it. I love that.
All right. Well, he's Siege and he joins us again. He's got a bunch of irons in the fire, including interviewing elected officials and talking to them about cheese. So yeah, the Florida Man Murders podcast is one other place that you can find him, and follow him on all the socials and everything. Again, Brandon's out because he's a dad for the second time now, and his life has gotta just be hell. I mean, my life sucks, and I only have one kid, so I have very nice things that happen in my life, but I'm just in a bad spot right now. But I can only imagine having a newborn kid and then like a 1.5-year-old being like, I need attention too, and then being like, having your equivalent to a 12-year-old co-host be like, pay attention to me too, look at my memes, why aren't you responding, let's do a podcast. So Brandon, we hope you're doing well. You're definitely not listening to this because you never do, but yeah.
Oh, and thank you, Brandon, for giving me those 30 seconds of time to give me a little voice recorder for the video that comes up to I love you so much.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for checking out the Nerd Talk podcast Tuesdays, 10 a.m. streaming on the Odyssey app. You can find it as a download as a podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. You certainly don't have to use ours, but I recommend you do because it keeps me employed even longer. So thanks for that. I'm Gregor. He's Siege. Thanks, Siege.
Love ya. Mean it. Bye.
Talk to you next week. Oh, okay.